7 this morning, and verse number 1, and we'll take just a moment and we'll review, and then we'll get into some brand new content today. Psalm 7, look at the superscription there. Before we get into verse number 1, the superscription says, Shigeon of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. Verse 1, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust, Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of thine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. And one of the things that we did last Sunday is we drew your attention to that word, interesting word there in the superscription, Shigeon. Some say it would be Shigeona. But anyway, it's a Hebrew word. And it just and it's only used once in Scripture. And it literally means a departure from what is normal, usual, or expected. We know that the Psalms are poems, if you will, and the Hebrew songbook, and the word Shigeon literally means a wild poem. And the idea here is that the psalmist, as the psalmist is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that he has shifting emotions or movements of thought. In other words, he's having a hard time containing his thoughts and keeping his thoughts together because his mind is all over the place. Well, we believe this. We believe that the psalmist wrote this when being persecuted by a man by the name of Shimei. The kingdom has been overthrown by Absalom, David's own son. He's caused a coup, and he's taken the kingdom away from his own dad. If that's not bad enough, and that's pretty bad, but if that's not bad enough, he's now making an attempt to take the life of his own dad and not only his dad, but those that serve his dad. And so David just pretty much grabs necessities and grabs those servants that are loyal to him, and they rush out of Jerusalem really, really for their own life. Now, we find that story in 2 Samuel, and I want you to turn over there because we are going to pay tribute to this in some of the new content we get to today. 2 Samuel 16, we find the background story behind Psalm chapter 7. And that's always helpful. If you can figure out sort of what's going on behind the psalm, it gives you a greater appreciation and a greater understanding of why the psalmist wrote what he wrote. And we find the background here in 2 Samuel 16, and look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "And when David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left." Now, we're going to come back to that in just a few moments, verse number 6. "And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial." We learned last week that when he talks about bloody man, he says, "David, you're a violent man. You've stolen the kingdom from Saul by murdering Saul, by murdering others." That's what he's saying. "You're a violent man." Then he says, he calls him Belial or Belial. And that word Belial there is the idea of worthlessness or sorry. He said, "You're worthless, you're sorry." Verse 8, "The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man." Now, as I was reading back over that again this morning, One of the things the Holy Spirit seemed to remind me of was this concerning Shimei. And so here Shimei comes out and he begins to criticize David because he accuses David of stealing the kingdom away from King Saul. Now keep in mind several things here. Number one, there were no telephones back in this day. The telephone had not been thought of. There was no such thing as internet. And there was not even anything, even like a newspaper back in this day. Word of mouth would have been the only form pretty much of communication back in this day and time. So here's a guy, Shimei, here's a guy that really did not have a clue about the reality of all that's going on. And so here he's accusing David of stealing the kingdom from Saul. You're a bloody man. You're a violent man. King Saul would still be in place if it weren't for you. This is all your fault. And here's the fact. Shimei didn't know what he was talking about. You know, here again, there was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. Nobody was tweeting. The only thing tweeting back in that day were birds. That was the only thing that was tweeting. And so Shimei does not understand that Saul has disobeyed the word of the Lord. And actually, it is God that's removed Saul from the kingdom, not David. That was not David. That was, in fact, David had numerous opportunities to take Saul's life, but he didn't, did he? And David said, I'm not going to raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. Of course, Shimei didn't know that. He didn't know that Saul disobeyed the Lord. Shimei did not know that Saul tried to kill David on numerous occasions. He didn't understand that Saul had become full of envy and jealousy. And yet, Shimei criticizes David without any kind of mercy or any kind of compassion at all. Now, several things we learned last week as we started the lesson. First of all, we said that David considered the criticism. Look at verse 3. And so here this criticism comes against David, but I love how David responds. Verse number 3, David says, O Lord my God. Look at the next word, if. If I have done this. If there be iniquity in my hands. If I have rewarded evil in him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. So David gave serious consideration to the criticism. Now we said last week there are two types of criticism. We said, first of all, there is destructive criticism. That's people that really you ought not listen to. They just have a critical spirit. They can't ever seem to say anything positive. It's always negative. They totally miss that scripture that says, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. Now, that does mean we're not to praise ourselves, but there's another implication there. That means we're to praise others. Is that what y'all get from that? Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. And so we're to praise men and make them feel good. But there are some people who just cannot do that. They're always negative about every single thing. You know, it's like the story that you've heard, the story about the church, and they were just trying to make things nicer, and they were updating and refurbishing the church, and they wanted to buy a chandelier for the church. And so they, every time they had the meeting, got together, and they were like, church, you know, we're really trying to make the house of the Lord look nice, and so we want to purchase a beautiful, beautiful chandelier that we'll hang up. And everybody in the church was for it except one old geezer in the church. And every time they brought it up, he would shoot it down every time. And he said, I'm not for it. I'm not for it. I'm not for it. And so they just sort of let it lay and never say anything about it. And then a little bit later, they thought, you know what, maybe he's over that. And so they'd say, church, you know, we're refurbishing the church and we'd like to buy this chandelier and put this chandelier up in the church. And how many are for it? And the whole church. I mean, the whole church was for it except this one old geezer. And he would stand up, let his voice be heard. I'm against it. I'm against it. I'm against it. And you ought not do it. And finally, somebody just spoke out in the service. I know they shouldn't have done that. They just spoke out in the service. They said, you know, why are you so against us buying a chandelier for the church? And he said, well, number one, he said, if we buy a chandelier, nobody here knows how to play it. And number two, he said, what we need are some lights in this church. Now, you know, church, I know you've heard that before many times. You know what that guy was doing? He was just telling himself, you know what I am? I'm just an old crab. I'm just an old critic. And that's all I know how to do is just criticize and just cause problems. Now, here again, we have to be very, very careful about destructive criticism. Now, we also said there is constructive criticism. And this was a point that we brought out last week, that every person, every Christian ought to have a group of people. I call it a cabinet. The president has a cabinet of people around him. But every person ought to have a group of people who they allow to offer criticism without becoming offended. And I love it. I love it. After the class last Sunday morning, several of our young men in the church came up and said, "Preacher, if there's something that you would like to criticize, we're open." Well, I love that. I love that spirit. And by the way, all the people who said that were sharp, and that's usually how it is. But be willing to be open for some constructive criticism. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's go on. This is new content today. Number one, we said that David considered the criticism. Number two, we notice here that David did not confront the criticism or the critics. And so let's look at that this morning in Psalm chapter 7 and look at verse number 8. So here Shimei is, and boy, he is just really railing against God's anointed here. And I mean, criticizing David without mercy. And Psalm 7 verse 8, look what David says. This is so important. He says, "The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart." So David, you know what David is saying here? The Lord will take care of them. The Lord will take care of them. Now let me show you a few real important verses today. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 12, and look, if you will, at verse number 17. And I think one of the things that we brought out last Sunday was this. You know, church, it's not a question of if critics are going to come against you. The question is when. It's going to happen. People are going to criticize you. People are going to say hurtful things against you. It's just a matter of when. It's going to happen. You know, sometimes it's in your own family, and that's really, really hurtful if it's in your own family. And we had some folks last week who came up after class and they spoke of things like that. And that's tough when it's your own family. But it might be people at work. It might be people in church. So what do you do? How do you respond when folks criticize you and are hurtful? Well, let's look at some verses. Romans 12, verse 17. The Bible says, "Recompense to no man what? Evil for what? Evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Verse 18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Now, so how many believe that's teaching we're to live peaceably with all men? Yeah. But there is another teaching there. And I think the secondary teaching is this, that there are going to be some men that are going to be hard to live peaceably with. Don't raise your hand on that one, all right? Look at verse 19, though. That's where I want to get to. Verse 19, he says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 3 with me, if you will. 1 Peter 3, and look, if you will, at verse number 8. First Peter 3, verse number 8, Paul not only talks about this subject, but Peter addresses this subject. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another." And then he says, "Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Verse 9 sort of sounds like Romans 12. Verse 9, "Not rendering what? Evil for what? or railing for railing. You ever had somebody rail against you? So not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise. And you know what? That's the life of the Spirit-filled child of God, contrarywise. That's our life. That's to be our testimony. We're to be contrary, you know, to everything the world does. We're to be contrary to that, you know. If they, you know what, if they say, well, I'm just kind of person, you know, I just speak my mind, we're to be contrary to that, you know. Somebody says, I'll tell you one thing, if he hits me, I'm going to hit him back. If she cusses me, I'm going to cuss her right back. Well, we're to be contrary to that. We're to do the exact opposite of that. The Bible says not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, and boy, here's the tough part. We're not only being contrary-wise, but contrary-wise what? Man, this is like mature 101, mature Christian 101 right here. And so the Lord says, I not only don't want you to curse them back, but I want you to bless them. So somebody speaks unkind to you or criticizes you or curses you, we're not only not to curse them back, but we're to say, the Lord bless you. God bless you. Knowing that, look at verse 9, knowing that ye are thereunto called, and look at this last part, that ye should inherit a what? A blessing. And so when our life is contrary-wise to what the world does, God says, if you'll just do, just trust me, and if you just do what I tell you to do, you know what's going to happen? God says, I'll take care of them, and I'll take care of you. I'll bless you. Well, I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn back to 2 Samuel 16 again, and I want to draw your attention to something that I felt like went right along with this. Again, we're talking about not confronting the criticism or the critic. And so here in 2 Samuel 16, Shimei, who knows nothing of the story, doesn't know what's going on, Shimei is just criticizing David without any mercy at all. But there's another part to this story that I want you to see. One of the things that we notice in 2 Samuel 16 is that the Bible tells us very clearly here that David's mighty men were by his side. And so let's look at that. 2 Samuel 16, verse 6. The Bible says, and he, Shimei, and he cast stones at David, and at all the servants of King David, and all the people, look at this next line, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Now, somebody says, preacher, is that a big deal? Well, I'm going to be honest with you, it was a big deal for Shimei. Because David's mighty men, they were no joke. These guys, David's mighty men were like, they were like Green Berets. They were trained assassins. I mean, they knew how to kill people. They were deadly with weapons, deadly. Well, look at verse 9, 2 Samuel 16, verse 9. Then said Abishai, who was one of those mighty men, then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Abishai could have done it. He could have done it. I don't believe it would have been a bit of a problem. I don't think Abishai would have had the hack. I believe it could have went. And I believe Shimei's head would have went boom, 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 boom. Am I right about this? I think I am. Wasn't it the same Abishai that when they were in the cave with Saul and Abishai said, Lord, let me strike him and I won't have to strike him a second time. I know. In other words, Abishai, these guys were assassins. And so they're saying to David, let us whack his head off. And so let me tell you what Abishai is. Abishai is a picture of the Christian who's not walking in the Spirit. Abishai is a picture of the Christian who just, they're impulsive. They just go by impulse. They do the first thing that comes to their mind. They say the first thing that comes to their mouth. There's a lot of Abishai's in churches today. And so Abishai says, Lord, he said, just let me go over there and just whack his head off. And yet we find here that David made sure that they refrained from that. So we're thankful. David restrained their actions. That's the word I was looking for there. How many know this, that criticism is quite often not even worthy of a response, especially if it's a critic, just an old critic. Now, if it's somebody you love and trust, and you know they love you, and you know, don't you? There's a difference. You know if somebody really cares about you, and not just spiritual, but I'm talking about, you know, if you've got a supervisor at work, and you can tell, you know what, they legitimately care for their employees, they legitimately care about you, and occasionally that supervisor may have to come up and say, hey, listen, why don't you try this instead? Well, don't get mad at that. You know, take that as constructive criticism. But people that are just critics at heart and negative, you know what? That criticism doesn't even really merit a response. Now, you say, preacher, do you have any examples of that in Scripture? We not only have examples of that, we have the greatest example of that. And his name was Jesus. So take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to turn over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 8. And look at verse number 3, and I'm telling you, this is one of my absolute favorite stories in the whole Word of God. John chapter number 8. More of the Pharisees were after the Lord. I mean, they wanted nothing more than to try to trip him up. And so they never had anything positive to say. It was always negative. They were critics at heart. They were so proud and arrogant. And so John chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had, notice the words here, and when they had set, S-E-T, when they had set her in the midst. By the way, if you go back and read the verses preceding verse 3, we find that Jesus is actually teaching. He's teaching. Well, the Pharisees and the scribes come. They don't even regard that. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. They totally interrupt the service. That's what spirit-less people do. They don't mind interrupting the service. And so they hear the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. Well, they just barge into the service, totally disrupt what he's doing. They take this lady and they physically set her in the midst before the Lord. Verse 4, they say unto him, Master, boy, can you sense that, just that Pharisaic, whatever it is, just that Pharisaism in their voice? They don't love him. They don't respect him. And yet they say, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? And they're not doing this because they're concerned about the law. And they're not doing this because they're concerned about justice. The Bible's very clear. They're doing this because they just want to trip him up. And so, what sayest thou? Verse 6, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. Oh, man, don't you love this next line? The Bible says, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. And I love this next line, as though he heard them not. Don't you love that? Now, somebody says, what did he write? That's what people have always asked that question. When Jesus stooped down, what did he write? You know, some people say he wrote, where is the man? You caught her in the very act? Yes, Master, we caught her in the very act. Well, last time I checked, it takes two to tango. Where's the man? Some say that he stooped down and he just wrote grace, G-R-A-C-E, wrote grace. Others believe that the Lord Jesus Christ stooped down and he began to write out some of the sins that these men were guilty of. Well, the Bible says in verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And then verse 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I have to admit, probably he's writing out the sins. And I think he started writing out the sins of those men, then he stooped back down and started writing out more sins of those men. And after a little while, those guys said, you know what, we don't want any part of this. And so they left. Now, again, the point being this, that a lot of criticism is not even worth a response. So if you get all mad and upset, just, you know what, just forget it. I shouldn't even tell you all this, you know, but you're talking about personal illustration. Mom, we had Mom's funeral Monday, and we had people come out of the woodwork. You know, I'm talking about folks we hadn't seen. I'm talking about family members we haven't seen. I haven't seen some of these family members in, I mean, probably 40 years. I've not seen them in 40 years. And I'd like to tell you that every one of them are just Christian and spirit-filled and just wonderful, wonderful people. But there's some of them are a little impulsive and loud, and so something was said Monday, and it was said to my dad, and it was from a family member. And that, I'm telling you, man, that upset my dad so bad. I mean, it just upset him so bad. He talked about that the rest of the day. He talked about that. And so that night, I said, Dad, forget about that. Just forget about it. Don't even give that a passing thought. I said, nobody paid any attention to that. I said, just forget about it. Well, he was talking about the next day, you know. And what do you think? They were going around telling, and I said, Dad, listen to me. Man, you got to just let that go. Just forget about it. Forget about it. But you know what? That's good advice. Just forget about it. When folks are just critical and indifferent, don't pay attention to that. Let it be like water on a duck's back and let it go. And that's what David did. David considered the criticism. David did not confront the criticism. But listen, let's finish. It's 10:28. We got 2 minutes here. Number next, last of all, is this. David had compassion toward the criticizers. Now, this is amazing. David had compassion toward the criticizers. Look back at Psalm 7 again, and we're done. But this is interesting to me. And I think this is a picture of the Spirit-filled life. Psalm 7, verse 14. Here Shimei is just criticizing David without any mercy at all. Verse 14, David says, behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. Look at verse 15. David says in verse 15, he made a pit. Talking about Shimei. He made a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate or head. Or that word pate there is the idea of his face or his countenance. And then David says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And so, you know, one of the things, as David listened to his critics, David understood something. He understood that this was not going to go well for his critics. And by the way, you know what, church? It didn't. Saul criticized David, hunted David. And how many know this? You know what Saul ended up doing? Falling on his own sword. Shimei criticized David and just an old critic. And David's mighty men wanted to whack his head off. And David said, nope, leave him alone. But you know, later on, when David went off the throne and Solomon was getting ready to come on to the throne, you know what David said to his son? He said, I'm going to give you a little bit of advice, son. He said, keep an eye on a few folks. Just keep an eye on them. One of those is Shimei. And you know, Shimei just couldn't stay out of trouble. And sure enough, he was later executed. Now, David didn't kill him, but he was later executed. And I just said that to say this, that you know what? It just doesn't turn out well for just critics. Doesn't turn out well for them. Now, I don't have time to give you this, but Let me give you some verses real quick. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Luke 6:28, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Romans 12:20, therefore if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If you thirst, give him drink. And so if we don't get anything else from this lesson, let this be our lesson, that spirit-filled Christians ought to strive against having a critical spirit. Strive against that. And so there were two taxidermists, and they were walking downtown one day, and they walked in front of a pet shop, and in that pet shop there was a beautifully stuffed bird, and these taxidermists begin to look at this owl in the display window, and they said, look at that. And they began to criticize this owl, and they said, look at its eyes. His eyes don't even look natural. And then they said, his wings are not in proportion to his body and his head. And they said, look at how he's got his feathers arranged. His feathers are not neatly arranged. And look at those feet. Those feet could really be improved upon. And they just criticized and criticized and criticized, and all of a sudden the old owl turned his head and looked at him. That was not a stuffed owl at all. It was alive and well. But they're just critics around every corner. And we're never to be like that. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Proverbs 4:24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Colossians 3:8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. James 3:9-10, therewith bless we God and even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. And so we're to speak blessing into people's life. May we do that today. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. And Lord, what a book. What a book. Thank you for giving us the wonderful, wonderful words of life. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would apply what we learned today. And I pray that we would be contrary-wise to this world. God, everything they are, I pray we'd be the opposite. And God, I pray that you'd help us to walk in the Spirit. Lord, bless this time of fellowship now, I pray. And I pray that you'll bring us back into the 11 o'clock service. And God, get us ready as we begin to talk about the end times today. And I pray that everybody in this place will be ready. And if they're not ready, I pray today will be the day. Bless us, we pray. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right.